have found a new way of praying that's actually really helping me in my attitude towards sharing my faith with other people. And it goes like this. You'll have heard this before, but anyway, for me, it's fresh. Kingdom of God, come into my mind. Kingdom of God, come into my will. Yeah. Kingdom of God, come into my emotions. So that I think how he thinks, mind. I want what he wants, will. I feel how he feels. You know, when Jesus looked at the crowds, it says in Matthew, not sure whether it's 9 or 10, 9, he had compassion. He looked at them and he wasn't, you know, oh, here we go again, another crowd. It was compassion. It's compassion. He felt nothing but compassion for them. And praying like that changes your attitude towards people so that you don't look at them and judge them. You look at them and you have compassion, you know? You want to reach out to them in some way. And basically, people don't just need to be preached at, do they? I needed to hear the word, but I didn't just want to be preached at. People don't just need a tract shoving in their hand. Now, I'm not against tracts at all. You know, I read several of them before I got saved, and they really helped me. But I am convinced that the most effective form of evangelism happens through relationship. It just does, doesn't it? Friendship, really. Spending a bit of time and letting the Holy Spirit in us influence them. Everybody say influence.
Influence.
Influence. The Holy Spirit in us wants to influence people.
Yes.
Have a positive effect on them. Kind of leave them wanting more. Yes. You know how Jesus did? Yes. His Spirit influenced. And drew them back, you know. And initially, the way it goes is people kind of just want to be around you. They find you interesting. They find you attractive. And then, of course, they get drawn to Jesus. If there is enough of God flowing out through our souls, mind, will, and emotions, then people are drawn. They just like being around you. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. You know, 2 Corinthians tells us to one, we're the smell of death. To the other, the smell of life. Some people are going to be completely put off. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. Other people will be drawn. And what I really want us to grasp this morning and grow in faith for, really, is that the Holy Spirit will influence through
Amen.
You. Just say influence again. It's a good word. Influence. Okay, I would like you to turn to one person, either left or right, take your pick, and shake their hand. Okay, good. Now, that hand might have felt hot, or it might have felt cold. I think the likelihood this morning, it probably felt hot. But either way, you felt something, didn't you? When that hand contacted your hand, you felt a physical substance. Did you all feel it?
Yes.
Of course you did.
Yes.
It didn't dematerialize, turn into nothing. You felt physical substance. You and I are made of physical substance, aren't we? We're flesh and bone, blood and guts, whole lot of organs. And but Jesus is spirit. God is spirit. John 4:24 says, God is spirit. He's invisible. What I really want us to think about this morning, though, yes, he's spirit. Yes, he's invisible. We've got a slide for this. But his spirit has substance. Everybody say substance.
Substance.
Substance. His spirit has substance. Every heavenly being has substance. Angels have substance. They're not made of physical material as we are, but they're made of spiritual material or spiritual substance. They exist.
Yes.
They're active in the world today. And scripture says they minister to the heirs of salvation. They minister to us. But they're made of spiritual material. And other cultures, other countries are much more conscious of the spirit realm. Places like India and Africa and South America, places like that, they're much more aware and conscious of the spirit realm. But in the Western world, we've been conditioned to have the attitude, and the people you meet out and about, most of them will have the attitude, I'll believe it when I see it. If I can't see it, it doesn't exist. Of course, we know that's not true. God is spirit. He's the true and living God. He very much exists, although we can't see him. But I'm saying all of this because I believe God wants us to be more spiritually minded, more conscious of the spirit realm. God is a living being made of spiritual substance. His presence has substance.
Yes.
And that presence has a real effect in this world we live in, this physical, natural, visible world. Now, this is a poor example, but it was the best one I could think of. Think of the wind, okay? You can't see the wind. You can't grasp the wind with your hand, but you can feel it on your face. And you can see the effect of it. Was it about a week or so ago, we had some real gales, didn't we? And when I was walking the dog, I saw branches of trees down. You saw the effect of that wind.
Yeah.
It's the same as God. We can't see him. We can't hold his hand physically. But we can feel him.
Yes. Yes.
We can feel his presence. If we're spiritually alert, you sense the presence of the Lord. We did this morning in praise and worship. There was a consciousness.
Yes.
God's here. And you can see the effect of his spirit at work. Now, I just want to share a testimony. I hope it's brief. My plan is to keep it brief. But I've had really sore eyes on and off for a couple of years now. And it is on and off. Sometimes it's better, other times not so good. But when we had the prayer meeting last month, it was particularly bad. It was like burning sore. And I sat in our lounge and I just said, Lord, help. I didn't know how to pray. I prayed so many times about it. Help. I don't know what to do. But I'd been meditating on Mark 11:24. Whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and you will have it. And I had faith just in that prayer, help, that I was going to receive something.
Amen.
Something from the presence of God. Help. Anyway, what happened was, what interests me about this testimony is it wasn't instant, but I would say within the space of about 2 minutes, the pain left. Odd. Isn't that odd? I've got no theology about that, really. You know, the Lord could have done it instantly, could have taken longer, could have taken 30 seconds. It took 2 minutes, but within the space of 2 minutes, that pain had left. And you know how you sometimes have to kind of sit there and almost pinch yourself? Has it really gone? You know, is it? Isn't it? Well, no, it's gone. It isn't there anymore. It was amazing. And that was evidence of the substance of God at work in my physical body. And I'm sure most of us in this room will have different testimonies about the presence of God contacting their physical being and bringing change. And the way the Lord works in the earth today, the way he blesses the earth is through his spirit.
Yes.
By his spirit. His spirit, the substance of God. I don't want to get away from this word substance because I want you to start thinking. I really pray this doesn't come across in a derogatory way because he is, of course, the King of Kings. But he is spiritual substance. He's a person, a living person. But just as we are made of substance, he has substance. Okay, so when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're not talking about something abstract or imaginary. We're talking about the substance of God filling a human body, a human being. The transference, really, of the substance of God into a physical human being. Now, I don't remember very much about chemistry at school. I'm sure you remember a few bits and bobs. But I do know that when substance A is added to substance B, you get substance C. Okay? That's about the level of my chemistry. But let me get this right. Two atoms of hydrogen plus one atom of oxygen equals H2O. Yes? In other words, water. Okay? Oxygen and hydrogen is water. Substance A added to substance B is substance C. Okay? Keeping it basic this morning. But think of it like this. The Spirit of God added to a human being equals a new creation. Or if I could put it like this, the substance of God added to the substance of a human being creates something new.
Yes. Yes.
Creates a new person. John 8:31, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples." In other words, if you continue, if you still keep thinking about this issue of substance, right? If you continue to mix yourself with God, the two substances continue to mix, his word and his presence, the internal change becomes more and more apparent. If the two substances separate, you're not going to see much evidence of change. You keep them mixed, you're going to see some change in the visible, okay? Now, I think that's amazing. I think that's amazing. That as human beings, we can carry the substance of God, the actual substance of God. And I believe with all my heart, the Lord wants us to raise our expectations of what he can do through us. Don't think about what you're not. The Lord said this to me. I was walking down the stairs as I was preparing this message this week, and I just heard the Lord so clearly say, don't think about what you're not. Think about who I am. Think about what I am. He's almighty. He's all-powerful. There's nothing he can't do. There's nothing he can't change. And we're just going to go through a few scriptures because I want us all to consider the effect of the Spirit of God on physical bodies, but even on physical things. Okay? We're going to have this on the screen. You can turn there if you like. Matthew 17. Verses 1 to 5. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, like he's flapping at this point, like, what on earth do I do now? Can't handle this. This is blowing my mind. What do I do? So he blurts out something silly. Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles or 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Or listen to him. I don't know what you would have done. I don't know what I would have done if I'd have been there. I'm sure I'd have flapped a bit, blurted out something ridiculous, and you know, you'd probably want to be on your face. You wouldn't know what to do. But the point is, the Spirit of God came on Jesus so powerfully, it radiated out through his flesh and bone body. Yeah. His face shone. More than that, his clothes even changed. Yes. Glistened, it says in one translation. Jesus demonstrated visibly the effect of God on his physical body.
That's it. Yes.
Let's raise our expectations, church. He, if I could put it like this, he showed the capacity of a human being to reveal God. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, that was Jesus. And we can be tempted to put him in a league of his own when that was the Son of God. But we shouldn't do that because he was a real human being. You know, he was made of real flesh and blood. If you could have shaken his hand, you'd have felt something. It wouldn't have dematerialized. He was a real human being. Okay? But he demonstrated to all of us our capacity to both receive and reveal God.
Amen.
Just say receive and reveal. Receive and reveal. We're here on earth to receive and reveal God. Acts 5. Peter received so much of the Spirit of God, even his shadow passing over people would heal them. Amen. Acts 19, the Apostle Paul received so much of the Spirit of God into his physical being, when he was handed handkerchiefs and aprons, if I can put it like this, the substance of God in him was transferred to that material. So that when the aprons and the handkerchiefs were taken and laid on the sick were healed. The material, it's a mind bender this, the material carried the substance of God, just like Jesus did. Amazing. Demons were cast out, it says. Sick were healed, demons were cast out. Because that substance of God was transferred. I read a testimony recently of a church who produced a kind of a leaflet with teaching and testimonies. But what they did, what the pastor of that church did, is he picked people in his congregation who he knew to have a real relationship with Jesus, real living faith in their hearts, to lay their hands on the physical leaflets, thousands of them produced, to come and lay their hands on these piles of leaflets before they were posted out and pray. And they would pray a very simple prayer, but not only would the people who received them be impacted and blessed by what they read, but as they took the actual letter in their hands, they would have an encounter with God. Now, do you know what happened? People, all over the world these letters went, people, when they received these letters through the post, they had reports back, people were healed, people were delivered from drug addiction. One woman, it says, as soon as she held the letter in her hand, her whole body began to vibrate. She put it down, it stopped, vibration stopped. She picked it up again, began to shake, put it down, stopped. Three times this happened. The third time, she was absolutely wonderfully baptized in the Spirit and fell over. But it's God. What else can we say? It's God. God can do what he likes, but it's according to our faith, and he wants us to grow our faith so we start to break some ceilings about what is possible, not in other places and other churches, but through us, through these physical hands and this physical mouth. Now, I'm going to give a testimony as well. This is not quite in the same league, but hopefully will bless you. Years ago, when I lived in Horsham, I worked for a while, about 18 months, I think it was, in a drugs advice centre. Crawley Drugs Advice Centre, it was called. And there was one particular morning. I had to really get in faith for it. I have to admit, I didn't like it at all initially. And I wanted to leave, but I knew that the Lord had told me to go. So I went. And gradually, I got faith for the people, and faith for this message, actually, that not only my message, but that God would work through me just being there physically in the building. Anyway, there was one particular time when these two big blokes, they were high on some substance or another, definitely not the Lord, and they were sparring, and it was starting to get serious. Initially, it was just a bit of kind of abuse, verbal. But it was on the brink. You know, they were like two stags locking horns. This was going to get nasty. And I was the only one there in the room at the time, only volunteer. And I thought, well, I've got to do something. What do I do? What do I do? All right. So I just said, right. Under my breath, I took authority and I loosed peace. I bound the enemy. I loosed peace. I stood in between them like that. I've seen it on TV, you know, and I just went like that. And I said this. This is the only thing that came to me. I said, I think you both need to calm down and have a cup of tea, right? That's the only thing I could think of. And do you know, it's so British, isn't it? And do you know what happened? They were absolutely stunned. They backed away. They both looked like they'd been slapped. They backed away to opposite sides of the room and sat down. And I just stood there thinking, God, you're amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. But that's what God can do. He can change the atmosphere. You know, we've got authority in the spirit realm. We need to use it and expect God to actually turn up and do something visible, tangible, something that's actually going to be helpful in the situation. But you see, it's according to our faith. Now, what I'm really wanting to get over this morning is, in case you haven't got it already, the Spirit of God, yes, he's powerful, but he's spiritual substance. And he can be transferred from you out, or from you to another person. Yes, of course, he wants to speak his message through us. It's vital. How can they believe unless they hear? But what I really want to emphasize this morning is, as well as the message, he really wants to transfer his spirit.
Yes.
Okay. So that we're so full of God in our souls, when people come into our presence, they encounter him. They actually come into his presence. Now, if you think about the presence of God for a moment, I've just noted down a few things that I would say I always receive when I encounter the Lord. I receive comfort. I receive strength. I receive joy. You do too. Peace. Hope. Hope that things can be better. Hope that things will be better. And when we spend time in his word, we get faith, actually, that they will be better. But those things, of course, there are more. But I would, personally, that's what I would say. I always receive a combination of those things. Sometimes there's an emphasis on one or two of those things. But mostly, I would say, I receive all of those things when I spend time with the Lord. Well, if you think about a person or people coming into contact with you, that's actually what the Lord wants to get over. You transfer comfort to them somehow, some way. They just feel comfortable around you. They just feel stronger because they've had a bit of time with you. Their joy starts to bubble up again. Hope is restored. They come into your presence, they come into his presence. And we love the presence of God, don't we? Don't you always feel better when you've been in God's presence? And that is the kind of, oh look, if I can put it like this, our UPS, USP, USP, our unique selling point. Other religions, UPS, that's the delivery service. Well, we deliver the Holy Spirit. Other religions, other philosophies have words, and their words appeal to people's intellect. What is our USP? We have the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
We don't just have words to convince. We have the power. Yes. Acts 1, verse 8, the Lord said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Okay, so we benefit from the Holy Spirit personally. Of course we do. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's our helper. But he's also our power to witness. He, amazingly, if we have faith in him, will make our witness effective.
Yes.
Or if I can put it like this, he will make you convincing. The Holy Spirit in you will be convincing. I want to talk just briefly about Stephen. You know Stephen in the book of Acts? Just an ordinary man. Or was he? Made extraordinary by the Holy Spirit. But naturally speaking, an ordinary man with an ordinary job. Waiting on tables. Okay? But it says he was full of faith and power. And Acts chapter 6 verse 10 says this. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Something about that seemingly ordinary man was irresistible. Now, I thought I knew what the word irresistible meant, but I looked it up in the dictionary. And the word irresistible means this. Irresistible means too attractive or too strong to resist. God in you, if we allow him to flow through our soul, is too attractive and too strong to resist. The same Spirit of God that was in Stephen, if you are born again this morning, is in you and in me. Amazing. Amazing. Not just in him, but on him. There's a difference. There's a difference between having God buried deep inside or having such kind of regular contact with him and an expectation of him that he becomes visible. Your face shines. I don't know if I've got faith for my clothes to glow yet, but you never know. The Lord could do something so amazing that it's like, people stop, what's going on there? Who knows what the Lord will do according to our faith? Okay, so Stephen opened the door. I've written it down like this. Stephen opened the door to God and allowed him to flow through his soul in such a way that people weren't able to resist him. I want you to get this because I think this can be a point of confusion for people. God flowed through Stephen's personality. He flowed through his words and he flowed through his behavior. Stephen was still Stephen. You know, he's probably had some quirky habits, you know, unique character traits. If, you know, you've got a real cackling laugh before you're baptized in the Spirit, you'll keep it. You know, it's your personality, but it's God through that personality. And if we will allow him, he'll sanctify our souls, make us holy, and flow through us in a unique way. God doesn't want everybody the same, uniform. He wants us all like Jesus, but not all beige. Do you know what I mean? Like, he comes through your personality, your sense of humor. But you just get cleaned up. You know, it's like a stained glass window, dirty or clean. Holy Spirit, shine through. Okay? God through you can be amazing,
yes.
Attractive,
yes.
Irresistible. Just say to the person next to you, God through you wants to be amazing, attractive, and irresistible. And the more we fellowship with him, the more he will flow through us. Okay, Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse. We're going to go from verse 14. I think we've got it as a slide. Okay. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. Just leave it there after this verse. I'm going to pause. Thank you. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. If we ask and believe, as I'm sure every one of us in this room has, the Holy Spirit will transfer his strength to our physical body. So, you feel weak, you ask in faith, you feel strong. There's a tangible difference. It's not just that all I'll believe, I believe, I believe, but I still feel weak. No, there is a transfer of actual strength, energy,
yes.
His ability to your physical body so that you feel different. Like my eyes, feeling sore, burning, real physical issue, ask and receive, gone. Pain gone. Transfer. Okay? If we could go on then, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, goes beyond, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We'll leave it there. If we ask and believe, we can be filled with all the fullness of God.
Yes.
God is big.
Yeah.
Okay, Isaiah 66 says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool.
Yes.
God is big. Look, I can't put it any other way. He's almighty. He's big,
yes.
Sizable, weighty. All the fullness of God here. Okay, how does that work out then? Well, let me put it like this. There's only so much space in your mind and your will and your emotions. But if you are filled full of God, there can be no room left for you,
right.
As in your flesh.
Yes.
Your stubborn, rebellious will. If you're filled full of God, God pushes the flesh out. What a lovely thought that is, okay? If your mind is full of God, God's going to be in your thoughts, God's going to come out in your speech, in your behavior. If your will's full of God, guess what? Influence the decisions you make. If your emotions are full of God, you're going to be led by him. God's going to come out. Now, I just want you to look at this little clip, which I really enjoy looking at. It's basically, you can just let it roll. Imagine that's God being poured in. You sit and you pray. You ask him to fill you full to the point where actually God starts to overflow. What a brilliant picture. What a brilliant thought that we can be so full of God, God comes out. God overflows, spills out of our lives, so that when people come into contact with you, guess what?
Yeah.
They come into contact with him.
Amen.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was spending a bit of time with a non-Christian, and somebody made this comment. They're always happy when you're around. They can be absolutely miserable. Poor me, fed up. You know, the dark, gloomy cloud that walks into the room. But when they spend a bit of time with you, they become like a different person. Why is that? They asked me. I said, look, my only answer to that is Jesus.
Yeah.
Honestly, the restorer of souls is in me.
Yes.
The burden lifter,
amen.
He's in me. The yoke destroyer, he's in me and he's in you. And I actually had been meditating on that Ephesians 3, on those verses in Ephesians 3. And I prayed that prayer, God, fill me so full, you pour out.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not blowing my own trumpet here. I did that because, honestly, naturally, I don't know how to handle this individual. He's a difficult one. He's a moody one. Never quite know how he's going to be. And I just said, God, I don't know what to do, what to say, how to be. Fill me so full, you just pour out. And you know what he did? You know the verse 20 thing? He'll do more than you could ask or imagine. It was honestly that. This man, he was walking around. He was singing. He was whistling. He was cracking jokes. It's like chalk and cheese. Was one thing, became another. I didn't talk to him about Jesus because I didn't have the opportunity this time. But somehow the substance of God in me had influence on him. I don't know how. He just did it, and I am grateful that he did, and he can do it through you, and I'm sure he does do it through you, but he wants to do it more. This is the point. We can change the atmosphere by faith in the Spirit of God in us. We can change moods. We can change the flow of things. We just, you know, like that picture, we just need to get so full of God that he spills out by faith, you know? In all the situations and circumstances we face, I'm sure if we went around this room, there'd be some challenging situations. But God can spill out according to our faith and will according to our faith. And he makes all the difference. He brings comfort. He brings all those things that his presence brings. Relief. Peace. Just a calmness. It'll be all right. because God's here, you know. We look the same as everyone else. If we were to pop into town afterwards, nobody's going to look at us twice. We don't look any different to anybody else. We're an ordinary bunch of people, naturally speaking. But we have a different spirit.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 2 verse 12 says this: we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. We have a different spirit. And we need to just much more think of ourselves as spirit first. Mm-hmm. We kind of think outside in, and we need to think inside out.
Amen.
We think body, soul, spirit, where the Lord's saying, I want you to think spirit, soul, body.
Yes.
The world sees this, but you need to think of yourself as spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You have a soul and you live in a body.
Mm-hmm.
Just turn to the person next to you and say, you have a different spirit. We're in the world, but we're not the same, church. Praise God, because the same doesn't bring any change.
Yes.
You've got to have different to bring change.
Yes.
We have a different spirit, spirit of compassion,
yes. Yes.
Spirit of mercy, the spirit of grace. The world needs those things. Your husband or wife, your children, your friends, your work colleagues, they need spirit of compassion, spirit of grace. Spirit of mercy. The goodness of God.
Yes.
The world needs the goodness of God. Because you know, the goodness of God draws people.
Yes.
The goodness of God through us draws people. It's powerful. This is my second to last scripture. If you turn to Isaiah 60. In fact, I think we've got it on the screen. You might want to look at it in your own Bible there. Isaiah 60. We're just going to read from verses 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
We're not waiting for Jesus. He
Amen.
Has come.
Yes.
And the glory of the Lord
yes.
is risen
yes.
upon you.
Yes.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. How true is that? But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The world is a dark place. There's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of suspicion. There's a lot of fear and anxiety, particularly in light of these latest terrorist attacks. Even in light of this latest election result, a lot of what's going to happen next. Jesus, the light of the world, is in us. Jesus, the hope of the world, is in us, okay? And the world, although it needs his words, I don't want to undermine the sharing of truth, because of course it's vital, but they don't just need words, they need his spirit. The world needs to see, if you like, God upon us. The end of verse 2 there, you know, he needs to arise over us and be seen upon us. That's my prayer. And I want to encourage you to pray these verses. And really make it your goal. God, arise. Monday morning, off to work. God, arise. Arise in me. You know, Spirit of God, be seen upon me. Not just buried on the inside, but really become visible. Be close to the surface. Become visible so that when people contact me, they contact you. When people come into my presence, they come into your presence. God's a living being. His spirit is spiritual substance, and he really wants to influence the world through us. I know you know this. In one sense, it's an age-old message. You've heard it all before. But what I hope is new, or what I hope has really caught your attention, is this kind of influence, this transfer of spirit from you to other people. We're going to finish with this. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16. You'll know these scriptures. Here we go. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we're the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Later on, in the next chapter 3, it says Our sufficiency is from God. We're not sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. God makes us smell nice. If I can put it like that, really, he makes us sufficient. We get full of him, and then we diffuse him. Now, I just happened to buy a new oil diffuser on Friday. I wasn't even thinking about this, but when I was going through the scripture, I thought, what a brilliant visual that is. You know, the pot of oil, and then they have the reeds poking out, and the more you put in, the stronger smell you get. You know, can you visualize it? In a sense, that is the most brilliant kind of object to demonstrate how we need to be. Keep dipped in the oil, and then the fragrance diffuses. So I would like to ask you, just to get into twos and threes and pray, really, that you will diffuse Jesus this week. That you'll stay dipped in him, if you like, and the Spirit of God will travel up through you and out and influence the people you come into contact with. Okay, let's pray.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.